It's time to talk with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning, Brad.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Kaylee. Thanks for having me.
Busy final few days of the session here, including for the State Senate, another look at the capital gains tax after the House amended it and took out that emergency provision that would put it to a referendum vote for the voters of Washington. And now it comes back to the Senate, where it barely passed 6 weeks or so. So what do you expect, I guess, to see in this kind of conversation? And do you think because they've gotten rid of that emergency response or that referendum part of it, does that mean it's likely the Senate kills it?
Well, it's really interesting. So what has technically happened is when the bill was moving through the full Senate, one of the Democratic senators proposed removing what we call an emergency clause. And if there is an emergency clause in the bill when it's signed by the governor, it immediately takes effect and there's no opportunity for a referendum for signature gathering and things like that. That was removed in the Senate version that passed the Senate, and it still just passed the Senate by one vote. My understanding of what the House of Representatives just did, I believe yesterday afternoon, after a multi-hour debate in the House, is they essentially added that emergency provision back in. And so that whole idea by the House of Representatives is to safeguard the chances of this going to a referendum for a statewide vote. So with that sort of back in, I guess what gives in the Senate, if the senators stick to their same position, it would still fail by one vote. But I presume with them adding that back in, they're hoping that one of the Senate Democrats flip their vote from a no to a yes. And if that's the case, then it would pass with that emergency clause in there still by one vote. So it's going to be really close. Sometimes the bills kind of bounce back between the chambers when they are not in identical form. But in order for a bill to go to the governor, it needs to pass both the House and the Senate in its same exact form, word for word. So this could play out interestingly over the next couple of days as we look to finish the session.
So this emergency clause protects this capital gains tax from a referendum, because I'd imagine that would be the next step, is that people will sue the state, and then if that doesn't work, they would go to a referendum.
Well, what we believe would happen, it could be both, but if the bill passes, normally bills that get signed into law by the governor, after the bill is signed by the governor, they don't normally take effect for 90 days. So it's almost 3 months. And most people don't really, you know, realize that that's part of the process. I think when the governor signs it, it instantly magically becomes the law of the state. It only does that if it has this emergency clause in it. But what's interesting is that the revenues from the proposed capital gains income tax don't actually start showing up to the state for a couple years. So it's clearly not an emergency. What I think the drafters of that amendment were trying to do was clearly just circumvent the potential referendum process, which is an important safeguard by the Constitution in our state. So presumably, if the bill passes without that emergency clause in it, there will most likely be a referendum, and depending on the outcome of that vote, there may or may not be court challenges. But let's say there is a referendum, and the voters, for whatever reason, uphold the capital gains income tax, which I suppose is possible. Then I would expect then that new law, as upheld by a referendum, would be subject to a state Supreme Court challenge. And as I've speculated, I honestly think the current makeup of the state Supreme Court is eager to approve this and uphold it, which would be counter to what prior high courts in our state have done. So it'd be going against some of the established precedent. But what we've seen with this current state Supreme Court, whether it's McCleary or the Hearst decision on water rights or the agricultural wages or some of the striking down some of the anti-tax measures, this Supreme Court seems very activist. They seem very much eager to step into the legislative arena to set policy, and they seem very open to new taxes. So I think the best opportunity for people who are concerned about a capital gains income tax is a referendum. And apparently some of the House Democrats want to want to eliminate that as a possibility, which is unfortunate. Hopefully the Senate can hold its position on allowing a referendum, because it's an important check and balance in our system.
Any thoughts on the Governor Inslee's comments last week about the Republican legislators being shut out or not being shut out?
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting. We've been pushing back on Governor Inslee over a number of months during this pandemic. He's basically issued a number of top-down Olympia-based command and control directives. And once we got into session, we thought maybe there'd be some more cooperation with the governor's office, but that's really not the case. I don't even think he's really working too closely with the Democratic leaders. We tried to bring forward a bill to reform executive powers in our state, because we have in my opinion, an outdated sort of emergency powers statute. And the Democratic leaders in the committees would not allow that bill to come up for a public hearing. So we actually tried to bring it to the floor by basically these emergency procedures in the Senate, and that got struck down. And the governor basically said that the Republicans are whining. There's really no need to reform the emergency powers, and that the courts have upheld his any prior challenges to his emergency powers, and basically what he's done has saved lives. But basically, he wants to continue his efforts kind of in a solo act, and we think we need to work together as a legislature with the executive branch, but that's proven difficult. And the unfortunate thing is we're probably going to come out of this session with a record high spending in our budgets and no change and no reforms to our outdated emergency powers statute. And that combination would be very unfortunate, not to mention the possibility of a new capital gains income tax as well. So, you know, we have just a few days left, and the outcome is uncertain on some of these things, but certainly it's not looking good for, I believe, the majority of the people in North Central Washington.
And then finally, in the last couple minutes we have you here, obviously just a few days left of session, 3 days, I believe, and you guys have to pass three budgets, deal with the capital gains tax and several other issues. I would imagine the operating budget is going to be the other big topic, the other big issue, along with police reform, which we could have you here for 3 hours, Brad. But, like, what do you see over these next 3 days, and can there an agreement be made on the operating budget, even if it's probably one that you're not going to be able to vote for?
Yeah, likely not. But, you know, it's interesting because we thought that that operating budget agreement between the House and Senate Democrats would be made public by now. Normally there's a 24-hour waiting period before we can actually take action on a proposed final budget. That would allow for amendments. That would allow for the public review. A lot of important transparency there. And we're not sure. We think that the Democrats in the House and Senate may drag this out and roll forward the proposed operating budget on Saturday, and then basically we would need to approve it less than 24 hours later. So that to me is troubling. The capital gains income tax is going to come back to the Senate for potentially another debate. The governor is also pushing his carbon cap and trade, a low carbon fuel standard, which we call a high cost fuel bill, and there's also this new transportation investment package, which could have the effect of increasing gas prices. So you put all some of those transportation bills together that are still in the mix, and the capital gains income tax, and the three budgets, it's going to be really busy. I don't know if we're going to roll into a special session if that's what the governor's trying to do, but it remains to be seen. I would imagine the capital gains income tax will be resolved, because that needs to be part of the budget. That might be one of the reasons why the budget is kind of slowed here in the final days. But we definitely need to approve all three budgets, and whether some of these other bills, like the transportation investment package, like cap and trade, like the high cost fuel bill, or some of these other things, you know, that remains to be seen whether it can all be accomplished in such a short amount of time that remains.
If not, I guess we'll be talking to you we'll be talking to you next week anyways, but we'll either be recapping the session or talking to you after the first week of the special session. So hopefully you guys get some sleep in the next few days, but it certainly doesn't sound like that'll happen.
is going to be a push at the end, and hopefully come back with the two of you next week for a post-session wrap-up. And that's my hope, and that's my expectation, and I think that's what the people of the state of Washington want from us as legislators.
Brad, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you both.